This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn.
Gotta have that energy.
Gotta have that energy.
That BDE.
Big Bad Morning Show, presented by the Baltimore area Jiffy Lube locations. What's up, gentlemen?
Not a lot. Same stuff.
I assumed he was talking to you.
Last night. He was.
Okay. You're anything but a gentleman. What are you talking about?
Shots fired at 6:02 in the a.m. That's how we start off the day.
Bang, bang.
Yeah, man. Start off.
It's funny because I was telling Rob, so I was at trivia last night and I'm driving home and I heard the Ryan O'Hearn home run and I'm like, man, this is great, but I got the under, guys. Could you please stop? Stop it. Four runs in the bottom of the eighth. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And that's the most frustrating thing about this team. You know what I mean?
I'm not mad. It's just like, come on.
You're cruising along and then bam. Okay, they scored 9 runs.
Well, even last night, making it interesting with Cano coming in. You know, Soto's like, hey, let me throw a few guys on for you. See what happens here. And then Cano comes in. We have the goofy ball drop, right, with Laureano and whatever the hell happened there. But in that situation, Cano gets you out of it.
And yep.
Like, we were talking about it. Like, man, he's so much fun. And it goes back to what we said about the blowing the kiss. Like, you're right. He stares down.
He stares you down, man.
What you going to do?
Like, you didn't know. Just in case you didn't know I struck you out.
Well, Cano comes
in. You know I struck you out.
Yeah. Hey, you know where you're going now? That's back to the dugout. I am, too. Because this inning's over. Over.
Yeah, you get upset because somebody blows a kiss.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember when Sean Kemp dunked on that dude and just jumped?
Just pointed at
him. He goes back on defense.
The epic stare down was when he struck out Santander in Toronto. I'm like, dude, he stared them down. They went through a commercial break, and he was still staring.
Yeah, the Blue Jays pitcher that was coming in said, bruh, I need the mound. What are you doing here?
I just like to know what goes through your head like as you see him staring. Ideally, you get this 6'4", 250-pound man on the pitcher's mound just like staring holes through you after he humiliated you. It's got to be fantastic.
Yeah, people talk about bat flips, and this guy's like, ha-ha, look at me. Hey, guess who did that? It was me.
You know what's going through your mind? Ain't nothing I can do about it.
Exactly.
Ain't nothing I can do about that.
I grew up in Havana. What are you going to do?
You ever been in one of those arguments with a significant other or somebody and you know they're right when they're arguing? Well, maybe not you, Ed. But you know they're right when they're arguing and you just put your head down like, yeah, man, I just got to let this one go. Because if that dude strikes you out and stares you, there ain't nothing you can say.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Just go take it. Now, the Orioles, very entertaining last night. And, Joe, you were there front and center, weren't you?
I was.
Tell us about your evening.
One of my best friends from college met a British man, fell in love, got married, and then moved to England.
Okay.
She has a 11-year-old stepson now, and she's visiting from the UK.
Hello, puppet.
And I took them. Okay. You can't even do, you can't even just like.
Did you miss me?
Like, no. Jeremy would be having a fight in the middle of a fight with his wife and just start saying things like that. I'd be like, you know, I'm good, man.
I do that all the time.
There's no way I could take you seriously.
It's like when someone's robbing you, you're supposed to ask him what time it is.
Or you just start taking your clothes off and they'd be like, okay.
Yeah, what's going
anyway,
on?
Anyway, took them to their first baseball game.
Governor. No, sorry.
He made a little sign that said he flew 3,500 miles to. Go to his first O's game, and he's actually like kind of a Baltimore convert because of my friend. So he loves the Ravens,
okay,
and he loves the Orioles. So,
did you ask him? And I'm not joking. Did you ask him like when they watch NFL football? Does it change? Is it something where you watch it the next day or like?
They did say they watched the Super Bowl the next morning.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, usually with Ravens games, they'll try to watch them live because they get NFL Red Zone. For free, actually. Yeah. They were telling me about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, through Sky Sports.
Yeah, Sky Sports has a ton over there.
Yes, though. And then now the Ravens have like exclusive licensing rights in the UK, too. So Baltimore sports are pretty big over there. But he loved it. He got a ball from the usher. They gave him a foul ball.
Oh, cool.
That's cool.
So it was a really great experience. And they won. So we didn't get to stay for the entire game. We missed most of the fireworks, like... towards the end of the game, but it was a really good time.
That's cool. That's cool. Now, it's not that bad, though, because at 1 o'clock here is like, what, 6 o'clock in the p.m. there?
Yeah, it's a 5-hour difference.
So it's not that bad.
Well, but I'm saying
it, there's a night game.
If it's a 1 o'clock game.
Yeah, I'm talking about Ravens. Yeah. But most of their games are 1 o'clock.
But yeah, weeknights, Monday night football, Thursday night football, Sunday night football, you know, like, I found that interesting because, like, when I was out on the West Coast, I was going, man, I could really get into this. Like, getting up early and getting sports started.
Breakfast.
Like, I'm already up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
kick off with breakfast.
Yep. And then seeing hey, it's Sunday night football. Yeah, it's kind of Sunday evening football, you know, or afternoon is what it feels like.
That's why, you can imagine, man, that's why they're so, you know, laid back. Because, like, they're used to that. Most things in the country are geared towards the East Coast. So they're used to, hey, man, let's get up and, watch, and eat breakfast and watch the game. That's got kind of a more laid-back atmosphere.
Yeah, I liked it, though.
I love it. I would love that.
Mm. But, soccer game's really laid-back.
No. I'm not talking about England. I'm talking about the West Coast.
Yeah.
Oh. No, we're talking about West Coast.
Yeah. The hooligans, they knocked over a dustbin in Shaftesbury's. It was filthy.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. That's got to be cool as an 11-year-old coming to, you know, to another country watching a baseball game for the first time.
It's got to be awesome. Like, all jokes aside, like, you know, there's a big contingency of, like, British fans of, as Joe was pointing out, they have that Ravens group. I think they're actually, the British group over there is calling one of the draft picks, right? During the draft, I believe?
I think so. Maybe that just came out recently, I think, actually.
I think it came out this week, actually, so that was going
to
happen.
Just ask me, what age were you guys when you went to Europe?
Europe?
I've been to Mexico and Canada earlier, but like the first time I went to Europe was in my 30s.
I guess the first time I went, so I went to Iceland first, but we went to Germany after that, but I was an adult.
Probably. I've never been to Europe. Yeah. I've had no desire.
I have plenty. I want to see everything over there.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I've never been there.
I told you, the thing I liked about Germany, or what I found interesting about it, was with all the time and the refugees and everything that was going on, not the Fugees or anything, but the refugees, like,
ready or not,
here they come. We had a different, every Uber driver or Lyft driver, whatever we were using, was from a different country. And so you're getting in, you're having these conversations with people about how did you end up in Germany? And it's, I don't know, I just thought it was cool that there's so many different walks of life, but it's also one of the reasons why I was held in Spain at the airport, because all them damn refugees, they don't trust anybody flying back, so they put me through the damn riot act. It's funny, every question.
You mentioned Uber drivers and, you know, somebody driving you. In London, one of the coolest things I've ever seen is called, they have the London Knowledge. You'll see people driving, men particularly, riding around the city on bicycles with a little clipboard on their handlebars. Mm-hmm. They have to learn every street, every street in the city before they can become a cabbie.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
London Knowledge. It's really wild.
It's a lot more, I don't want to say it's easy, because it's different. Like, I still remember every street in Essex that I delivered pizzas to. So if you gave me an address, I could go to it right now. Yeah. And again, Essex isn't London, but I'm saying it's like the more and more you do it.
Nothing
it
in common with London, really?
No. Missing teeth. So maybe. I don't know.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We get stupid with Jeremy Kahn at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, a happy recap. O's Guardians up next on the Fan.
The Big Bad Morning Show's update from the yard.
That ball is going to leave this building.
Sponsored by Farnan and Dermer, the comfort guys. Call today for an $89 AC precision tune-up and make sure your system is ready for hot weather. Call 410-367-7777.
In the air to right field. That ball is headed for the flag court.
On 105.7, The Fan.
Holiday drives one to deep left center. Thomas is back. The wall! Grand slam!
Oh, I think that was a huge point in the game was when he hit that grand slam. That's always good when somebody hits one for the team, just for four runs on the board and all that, but just to start the game off that way, just with how the offense been going a little bit, we kind of need that.
Kjerstad, talking after the game, what a play he made to end a rally by the Cleveland Guardians, turned that whole game around. It would have been 4-3. The Guardians probably would have run on third base, Ed. He makes a great defensive play out there in right field, and you want to see him. You want to see him hit naturally. He did have two RBI last night on one hit, but what you really want to see him do is improve defensively, because that's what's going to keep him in the lineup.
Yeah, that's exactly what's keeping him in the lineup. I just thought last night overall, a lot of people kind of showed up, which I thought was a. It's something I don't hate to just be so, you know, optimistic about one win, but this is kind of what we've been talking about, I think. You wait. Kjerstad, they gave him a lot of attention on the broadcast, too. Not only did he, you know, he looked good, he made, that was the best defensive play he's ever made in his young career in the major leagues, by the
way.
My
favorite play from last night.
Even with 60% catch probability.
Holiday's grand slam, the great stuff with Cano coming in, seeing him make that catch.
Yeah.
Because the big part that we question about him is what he can do in the field, and that wasn't an easy play. And maybe it would have been for a better right fielder if they got the right jump. I don't know. But making that catch saved that inning.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think for the average outfielder, it's a challenge going back in the, you know, away from your glove. I think that's a challenge to make, but definitely for him, if he can just make the routine plays and every now and then make a play that's difficult to make, then he's going to be in that lineup. He cannot be a liability, defensively. He's going to hit. He's a big, strong boy. He's going to hit, but he cannot be a defensive liability.
I would like to know how they come up with that percentage, though. Because they said there was a 60% catch probability.
You got to carry the one, Ed.
Is that it?
Yeah. Oh, that's that catch
decimal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's right with the catch. I guess they're judging his distance, his speed, or is it average? Like distance and average speed, maybe.
I think the data is based on who you are as an individual. Like the
so they are taking his speed there.
Right. The catch probability for Cedric Mullins may have been different if that's his play. I'm pretty sure they take it to advantage them and take into consideration what you normally do, who you are.
How funny would it be if they started doing that? They're like, yeah, Cedric's catch probability was 98%. Yours was 22. He's that good. So,
you're right. I mean, Cedric makes the tough plays look routine sometimes.
Doesn't it go back to what we talked about with certain guys that, and look, everybody points to Raffy winning a gold glove at first base, but
when he played 17 games?
Yeah, but the guys that get to more balls are, how do you judge the success of a fielder if he doesn't get there and another guy does? Yeah. You know, like it's...
And that's why shortstop is so tough to talk about errors. Mm-hmm. Because they're the guys that get the balls and they drop them as they're transferring the ball and they get an error. Like, dude, how many guys even get to that ball? You know, you got an error because you're basically being penalized because you have more range than other people.
Yeah, I like guys that are willing to try to make that throw. Now, again, if you can't make that throw and you're throwing it into the damn well over there or whatever, yeah, we're not – you got to stop doing it. But I think there are a lot of guys that don't make the throw worried about getting an error the same way that – if I wanted to fault Caleb Williams last year, he was taking sacks so he didn't get incompletions or turnovers.
That one that Ryan O'Hearn hit last night, though. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah. He got into
that. He stepped on that one, didn't he?
Yeah.
My goodness. Right down the line, but it was a bomb. Love Ryan O'Hearn. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Let's go out to Benjamin in Woodlawn. What's up, Benjamin?
Hey, Rob. Hey, Jeremy. Love your show. Thanks
Thank you,
for everything.
Yep.
I have two slight concerns.
Go ahead.
It's about the stability of the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
One is they're depending too much on home runs. And my concern is in a playoff series when they have a seven-game series against a Garrett Crochet or a true number one who's going to win two games in the series when we don't even have a true number one. My concern is they're not going to be able to get the three-run home run and the grand slam. And it's shown the last 2 years.
Let me say this to you, Benjamin. And I hear that all the time. They can't get the home run. You know what two teams led the league in home runs last year? The Orioles and a team that lost in the World Series. The Orioles and a team that lost and they got all the way to the World Series. And I'll also say this. We got first world problems if in April you're worried about what they're going to do in the playoff series. Think about that for a second. We got first world problems. You know, we used to worry about whether we can go 500. Now, Benjamin's concern is, what do they have a true number one for a playoff series? But people talk about that all the time. I don't know whether they're going to hit the home run in the postseason. The other team that looked top in the league in home runs got in the World Series and lost.
Is it weird, though, that, okay, so baseball being a long season, we just had a really nice win last night. Before that, it was a bad loss, right? Like, you're not hitting against this guy. People hated the lineup. And it's so weird. I feel like we can get down so much easier than we can get up. Like, the whole positivity, negativity thing.
Right.
You lose a game and the whole season's over. Then you could win three in a row and some guy will call in, yeah, but I don't know if I buy into it.
Right, yeah.
It always feels like there's always a but when it comes to any of the success here.
They hit home runs. If you had a team that all they did, Ed, was manufacture runs, you know what I could say? I could say, I don't know whether they're going to be able to string together three hits in one inning like that enough in the playoffs. Because why? Because you're going up against number one pitchers.
Yeah.
You can always throw holes in offense. You're a team that manufactures runs. That means you got to put together multiple hits in an inning. Well, if you're worried about going up against number one pitchers and top pitchers in the playoffs, you're not doing that in the playoffs.
This is the same organization, though, that swept three Cy Young winners from Detroit with a bunch of who's that?
That's true.
If you go based on what they did, remember, they ended the season in Toronto.
Yeah.
They went against R.A. Dickey. Four straight Cy Young Award winners. They beat him.
Oh, that's right.
On the last game of the season.
Well, so the other thing I'd say, just kind of defending Benjamin a little bit, because there is that, I think there's validity to teams that just try to look for the home run ball. And what happens when we get in October? The weather's colder. You know, the pitchers have an advantage because maybe the wind's blowing in. It's harder to hit those home runs. A lot of those home runs turn into fly ball outs because of the weather, depending on who you're playing. Then you throw in an ace pitcher to go along with it. Yeah, it becomes really difficult. So I think there is something to be said about teams that just swing for the fences, but I don't know that you can say that.
I don't think you can
about this team.
They know, if you throw them a ball, they can drive. They're going to drive it. They hit home runs. That's what they do. I mean, I'm sorry they hit home runs. But again, in postseason baseball, when you talk about having those top dogs that's starting, what do teams do after four or five innings? They go to the bullpen. You're not stringing together three or four hits against them in an inning either, Ed.
No, you're not. I just find this whole thing hilarious where people are actually bitching that they're not hitting runs, and then when they hit home runs, they bitch they're swinging for the fences. Like, this is one of the most prolific offenses in baseball in the last couple of years because they hit a lot of home runs. They've had team speed. They hit home runs. They do a lot more to score. And yet people are complaining. Either way, they complain. It doesn't matter if they're not hitting or they are hitting. And you're right. The Yankees led the majors last year, but the Orioles led the majors for a long time last year at home runs.
Yeah, exactly. And
so it's like I get it and I don't get it.
The Yankees led the major leagues in home runs, and you could argue that they should have won the World Series.
Yeah.
You can make that argument. 410-583-1057 is the number. We get stupid with Jeremy Kahn at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, Ken Rosenthal releases a piece about Cedric Mullins. He said the Orioles camp has not reached out to Cedric about an extension. Are they making a mistake? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 6:32 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Andy Koska joins us later in the 8 o'clock hour. Cedric Mullins this year, Cedric's career numbers are 323 on base percentage, 752 OPS, which isn't bad, but here's the problem. In 2021, he was a 30-30 man. That year, his on-base percentage, 360, OPS, 878. Since then, his on-base percentage has gone to 318, 305, 305, respectively. OPS, 721, 721, 710. This year, he's having a phenomenal year right now so far this month. On-base percentage, 455, OPS, 1.089. I don't expect either of those numbers to stay there, but it's a great start. And you know, until they fall, that's what they are. Cedric Mullins is in the last year of his contract. Ed, should the Orioles offer Cedric an extension?
Well, I'd love to see them do it, but I'm not so sure they will, given the crowded outfield we've had and we have with young talent. And it's something I think people are going to have to get – going to have to accept. We had to do it with Santander and, you know, Austin Hayes. You know, it was fan favorites that also play the outfield and that are no longer here. Look, you know me. You know how I feel about Zeddy. Have for since we met him in spring training. And I think he's been a great addition to the team. I mean, look at the ovation he got, you know, opening day. And, like, he's a fan favorite. He to me, represents the fiber of the city, perhaps better than anybody in the team. You talk about a city that's kind of gritty and, you know, rather humbled or kind of often overlooked. He goes about his business every day and has for years, was sent down to the minors, comes back, is, you know, much improved. Just, you know, everything he has is earned. And it just, I think he really embodies Baltimore better than most. But it is a business. And, I just think the fact, you know, that he's 30, was he 30 years old now?
30, yes.
30. Yeah, it works against them because that's you know, that's getting old for a center fielder, and they've got plenty of talent.
I think the fans love him, Jeremy, but I think Kevin Brown said it best. Oriole fans are smart. They realize that this could be his final opening day as a Baltimore Oriole, so I think they put a little bit extra on it on opening day as well. I think they love him, but I think a little bit of that is recognizing this could be your last time on opening day in the Orioles uniform. Yeah. Should they offer him an extension, Jerry?
Well, I want to go back to something you said. Some Oriole fans are smart. there's somebody in the car going, I hate this son of a bitch.
They said that before you said that.
Yeah. No, they're not. This is the problem.
I said, should they?
No.
Okay.
No, because everything that Ed said is factually correct. You love him. This is where we get to where it tugs on your heartstrings because he's been here. He was here during the losing. He wants to be here. And then you go back to it and go, okay, well, Cedric has, where are we at here? Cedric has a career on base percentage.
325.
Or OPS, I'm sorry. Yeah, no.
721?
Yeah, you got it. 323 is what I see for his career on base percentage. And then, of course, 752 on his OPS. There's a guy named Enrique Bradfield Jr. is in the minors that has a 383 on base percentage. He has 79 walks to go along with 91 strikeouts over three seasons. 101 steals, that's your center fielder of the future, and this is the part of the business that you tend to hate.
Oh, let me
ask you. If you're going to extend Ced, I think you're trading him because he's very valuable.
You know, everyone wants to do it right now because he's the hottest Oriole hitter. Did they want to do it last May when he batted 136?
No, they wanted to get rid of him.
It was 162. No, they start asking for Kowser and other people to play. Well, can he? I heard Kowser can play center field. We ride emotional highs and lows so much. If he wasn't hot, how many of you would want to re-sign him, want to extend him right now? I would love for them to offer him an extension if his team friendly and he knows the situation, but that's not the case. Cedric's going to put up career numbers. He's going to get paid.
Look, I liked Santander, and I thought he was a really good player, and the fact that, you know, it sounded like he wanted to be here. This is where Cedric wants to be.
Of course.
And to me, it hurts a little bit more when you have a guy that wants to be a part of this organization for years when we had – plenty of people are like, get me the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And then now, like, going through the rebuild and everything else, I'd love to see him stay here. I just don't think it's possible from the business model that they have.
I don't think in August when he batted 200, that folk and the OPS was 641. I don't think people were, you know, many people thought he'd get traded.
Yeah.
Part of a trade combination. So I love Ced. I hope Ced continues to put up career numbers this year with somebody is going to pay him. I just don't think... I don't understand, Ed, how Cedric Mullins not being offered an extension is a real big story. I don't know why people are surprised by that. Like Jeremy said, you have all of these people that are coming up that you believe in. I don't understand why this is a big news. Cedric was – go ahead.
Well, I think, the key word was emotional. I think the emotional attachment to Seti is what the issue is. And not that he's not playing. He's playing, you know, fantastic right now. And I think he served this team, you know, really, really well over the years. Like I say, he's been here from the bad times to the good times. He wants to be here. All the things, you know, are tipping in the right direction for him, you know, staying, except the fact that we've got a lot of young talent that has to come up, and he's over. He's going to be, you know, in his 30s now.
I think the emotional attachment to him is that he's starting hot this year, because I don't recall this kind of haste for signing him last year.
No, you're right that the fact that he's hot and he's playing well, it's in the forefront of your mind, right? Going, oh my God, we got to keep it. Look how well he's playing. But the thing about this is, when you look at a guy like Seth, it kind of makes me feel like Markakis. When Markakis left and everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe you're going to let him walk. And it's like, yeah, but he's kind of a glorified singles hitter at this point of his career, not necessarily having somebody that's going to come in and replace him, where it's you have the pieces now that are in place to replace the guys that are here. So you're staying young, staying cheap, and hopefully spending money and allocating it in other places.
Cedric had a one-on-one with our own Cordell Woodland, and this is what he said about wanting to stay here in Baltimore.
Yeah, 100%. Just being drafted by Baltimore, and you know, just knowing what Baltimore and the city has offered me and my family over the course of, you know, my career has been nothing short of amazing. So to have those negotiations take place, it's all in timing. But right now, you know, I'm focused on the day-to-day of bringing wins to the Clippers.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, I get it. Would love for him to stay.
Did anybody do what I just did, not listen to a single word he said, and try to figure out what song's playing in the background? Did anybody just do that? Because I missed everything he said trying to figure out what damn song that was. I just know he wants to be here.
I think it was Chris Stapleton.
Was it? Was it Tennessee Whiskey? Because that's probably still playing somewhere.
Now, we're going to take some phone calls and coming up, but right now, Joe, you have a text for us?
Yeah, I think this is one of the main things that the text line is harping on. Rosenthal says that they're focusing on signing young talent. And the texter says, so no extensions for young studs and no extensions for good veterans. What the hell are we planning to spend our money on?
Man, some of these people just drive me insane. Like, it's no money for the players that to extend them that are coming up. No, I don't know how many times you have to say to them, the young player has to want to get an extension right now. And how many times have we said the guys we have on our team are studs? Why would they sign that?
I'm not signing that right now. But at the same time, Jeremy, the money has to be available for when they're ready to sign them. They tried to offer a pitcher $45 million a year. We're not making it up. The pitcher told you that. $45 million a year. They would have spent money. The guy didn't want it. He wanted to go back home. I don't want to pay Cedric Mullins what it's going to cost to keep him here. I don't. I wouldn't do it either.
There are so many smart people out there that I feel like say a lot of dumb things about the Orioles offseason this past year, where it's like, well, they didn't go out and prepare for this and get any starting pitch. They had 10 starting pitchers when they came to camp. You may not have liked the starting pitchers. Hey, oh my God, they didn't prepare for. We need a number one. If Corbin Burns was going to walk, you got to go get somebody. Who? Did you want to overpay Max Fried? Did you want to overpay Blake Snell? By the way, five-inning pitcher, he's hurt right now. Did you want to overpay any of these other starters that were out there? The one thing I'm listening to people on is the Garrett Crochet trade. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know what they asked for. I'm not giving up Masayo. I'm not giving up Mayo, personally. You know, if we start talking about some other stuff, I get it. But I think all those guys, the three guys that we've talked about, Holiday, Masayo, and Mayo, are all going to be studs at the next level. And that's why they don't want to trade them.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Want to hear from you, Baltimore. The Orioles reportedly have not offered Cedric Mullins a contract extension, but are they making a mistake? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
You!
6:47 in the a.m. Ken Rosenthal releases a piece about Cedric Mullins with Mullins camp, saying the team hasn't attempted to discuss an extension yet. Are the Orioles making a mistake by not extending a homegrown guy? 410-583-1057 is the number. And if you say they're making a mistake, I respect that. But do know what I'm going to ask you is, when he was struggling last year, did you want to extend him then? Is this a result of the hot start? Because I don't recall, there wouldn't have been an article about Ken Rosenthal last year about extending Cedric Mullins if he wasn't as hot as he is right now. 410-583-1057 is the number. Now, Ed, I can understand. It's not foolish for people to want to extend Cedric Mullins. Let me throw that out there. I don't think you're foolish for it at all. I disagree with it, but I get why you would want to extend him.
By the way, if there wasn't an Enrique Bradfield Jr., because I don't think it's going to cost a lot to extend Zed, and you wanted to extend him to a, you know, a three-year, four-year deal or whatever, I'm listening to you. But when you have his replacement waiting in the minors and you're going to have him for years to come, it's just smart business to let the one guy walk and then the next guy come in and replace him.
Yeah. And again, it's not foolish. Yeah, I want to extend Cedric Mullins. You guys, he great stealing bases when he gets on. In my opinion, one of the top two or three center fielders in the game right now, defensively. It's not a foolish idea at all.
No, it's not a foolish idea. I mean, it's not just the emotional stuff. And even when he's not wasn't hitting well, because he's had his struggles with the bat throughout his career. Remember when he just couldn't seem to catch up major league pitching. They sent him back and didn't know if he's actually coming back. And then, you know, of course, he ends up having a 30-30 year. But he brings other things to the, you know, to the table. Like, you know, he does have, you know, speed. He can steal bases. He's an outstanding defensive player. So, I mean, these things matter as well. But I get what you're saying. It's just, you know, right now, his replacement's right there.
Yeah.
And they've got to, you know, focus on the health of the team.
I'm sorry. I think we've said this for years, and regarding the two players that we constantly bring up with this, Mountcastle and Mullins, you look at it, and again, with Mountcastle, the replacement is there, and the minors just killing it at AAA, saying, what do you guys want me, what else do you want me to do down here? You know, so when you have a situation like that, the writing's kind of on the wall unless you're willing to move the other guy, then it makes Mountcastle and Mullins more interesting.
I like this from Pigtown Sports. It was smart to let the season play out, and he's playing really well to start. It wouldn't be dumb to give him a 1 or 2 year deal to see where Bradfield is. We'll have to wait for Honeycutt. Gives you a cushion with a nice player. I don't know if he takes a 2 year deal. If you can give him a 2 year extension now, yeah. But I'm in my mind, a 30-year-old like Mullins. But I don't think he would take I wasn't thinking 2 year deal. I was thinking Mullins wants like a 4 year deal or something somewhere.
Well, the best thing is if he plays his ass off this year and he goes and gets paid from another team, he outperforms what his contract probably would be in any other given year because he's hot right now.
He is hot,
and teams will buy into that and spend money on him. But I don't know that the Orioles can be the team to do that unless you're allocating other trades and there's no such thing. I mean, there is having too much talent, but at some point you're running into the problem that you have with Coby Mayo now where you're like, he's not just knocking on the door. He's kicking the damn thing down saying, what do you want me to do? And at the same extent, when you watch Enrique Bradfield Jr., all we've heard is great things about him.
My buddy Tim thinks Coby Mayo is a fraud.
Okay. Maybe he's a 4A player. I don't believe that.
He thinks he's a fraud. I don't think so. I think he's pretty good.
You base that off the 30 at bats he had in the majors?
Ryan in Baltimore. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Rob, you kind of beat me to my point, what I was going to say about I think it would be smart for on the Orioles end to offer him a 1 to 2 year, but I agree with you that I don't think he's going to take a short-term deal like that because Enrique's not going to be ready by the end of this year. He's most likely not going to be ready by the beginning of next year. So for the Orioles sense, it'd be smart to offer him a 1 to 2 year deal. But, you know, like you said, I don't think Cedric's going to accept that.
Yeah, do I want to be a free agent again at 32? I don't think so.
No. Right, you know, and I find someplace that he can end his career at.
Yeah.
You know, especially if he plays really well this year.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ryan. I don't want to be, if I'm Cedric Mullins, I don't want to be a free agent again at 32 shopping for a contract because that's when you start getting a series of one-year deals.
When you come off of a year like this, you're trying to capitalize on it. It's not, again, he's not signing some short extension. I think it's got to be 4 years or more.
Let's say he bats 265 or higher, on-base percentage of 330 or higher, OPS of 730 or higher. He's a former 30-30 guy. If he hits 15 to 20 bombs this year, somebody's going to sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal. He's going to make $15 million a year.
It's tremendous value. Like, he's a good player. It's just a matter of, it's a numbers game here in Baltimore, and he ends up being the odd man out. I don't see them paying him. And no matter how much, you know, we want Sed to come back, the only way in my mind that they are paying him is if they're moving somebody else out. And I keep talking about Bradfield. Somebody brought up Honeycutt. We don't even know what that guy's going to be.
No, we don't. You got some more text over there, Joseph?
For the we can't extend Mullins. We have too many outfield prospects crowd. We also don't have any pitching depth. We can extend Mullins and trade a prospect for pitching.
Or well,
trade Mullins.
Or you can let Mullins walk, call up the prospect, and use that money allocated towards that pitcher that you're talking about, which makes more sense.
Let's go to Baltimore and get Trippy. What's up, Trippy?
Hello.
Hey, what's up with y'all, man? I agree with y'all. Maybe we should sign him to a 1 or 2 year contract. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at it like, if he keeps being hot, let's trade his ass. You feel me? Let's get some prospects. Look. Yo, hey, Rob, what's up with your man, Jim Palmer, man? Talking about he never ate chicken wings, man. So, hey, Rob, when you go back to the clubhouse, man, ask all them Oreo fans, they need to go to Sonny's or Royals over West or something to go get a chicken box, man. There's no way Jim Palmer never had chicken a day in his life.
No, he didn't
man.
Say he never had chicken. He never had chicken with skin on it.
Yeah, he doesn't eat fried chicken or chicken wings.
Yeah, he doesn't eat any kind of chicken with skin on it.
Oh, he like that skinless chicken, huh?
Yeah. Because if I'm not mistaken, last night on the telecast, there was some chicken strips in the press box, and he said he was going to grab one of those during the commercial break. That doesn't have skin on it.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all know how I feel about stadium food, though, but stadium food is trash, man. I don't blame Jim Palmer for not eating that food. You know what? But I'm glad the Orioles got us to bring our own food in because I'm going to the game. I might go there.
You don't like anything at the stadium?
I mean, I like the hot dog.
The hot dog?
Yeah, the hot dog.
How many you eat? You just eat one hot dog?
Well, you know, when me and Rashawn go, you know that little spot out by Pickles, we grab like 2-3 of them real quick. You know what I mean? Keep it moving.
Be careful with that Rashawn guy. He tried to lady and tramp one of those hot dogs with me. I said no.
Sean, I ain't talking to Sean like in 2 weeks. Is he okay?
Yeah, I think so.
He called here. He must not be talking to you
right since coming back from Thailand, though. Yeah. You might want to check in on him.
And hold on. Let me give a shout out to Dustin real quick. Hey, Dustin, I'm still standing on what I'm standing on. You know he cussed me out when I said the Orioles ain't making the playoffs. He's going to say.
He should cuss you out.
I think Howie Roseman is better than EDC. I said, bro, I don't care what you say, bro. That's your opinion. But
Hey, you got to check on Rashawn, though, Trippy, because he told me something about it burns when he goes to the bathroom or something.
Hold on. Can I ask a serious question? Was that Trippy's?
Oh.
Was that his Dustin voice or his white person voice? Like, is that the voice he uses when he's doing all, you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Because people try to get, he's like, hey, tell me what a black voice sounds like. No.
Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Mike.
Hey, I'm here. Sorry about that. Man, just real quick, you know, as soon as I dump on Jackson Holliday, his grand slam. So that was ironic yesterday. But, man, I think they should keep Setti. I mean, he probably won't go for a short-term deal, but who's to say he might have turned a corner, man. This might be – he might be this hot for the rest of the season. Shucks. You
By the way,
know.
There's no such thing as a one-year deal. I'm sorry. That's just – you get to come back for a year. Hey, he ain't signing for a year.
A one-year contract.
It's not even an extension.
Nobody's signing for a year. And nobody in that position ever is going to sign for a year when you can get a multi-year deal. Like, this is just,
let me come back and try to prove it
again.
Why do people
bring this up?
Yeah. NBA play-in game recap at 7:15, but on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah. We're going to talk about a lot of fun stuff. How about a woman that was accused of doing something in a Pennsylvania rural farms cooler? Ah, man, what a lovely lady. I think this is the marrying type. We're also going to get into another story here about, you guys have heard about the Braves reporter that asked the woman out or got her phone number?
I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of things blowing up, and I think it's a perfect thing for us to talk about in the world of stupid. Was he out of line for doing it? Don't say anything yet. We'll get to that in the world of stupid coming up.